Those of us who can, for those of you who are worshiping with us online, again, I want to welcome you, and it's great to have you with us. We're beginning a new series of lessons on spiritual warfare this morning. And before we get to the lesson, I need to share with you some really fantastic news that we have, that we have a new sister in Christ, and her name is Minji Wei. She was baptized by Chuck Funk this past Friday, and so we want to welcome her to the family, to the Lord's family, and we want to encourage her as much as we can in her growth and her new walk with Christ. And so Minji Wei is her name, and again, we just welcome her and excited about her newfound salvation and newfound life in Christ. And thanking Chuck for his work in the Lord and sharing the gospel with people in his Jerusalem in Judea. So before we begin our lesson on spiritual warfare, a couple of things to go over. We've made a couple of changes in terms of our plans, what we're doing here. The first part of this, no real changes. All of our scheduled activities of the church except for our worship are still canceled until further notice, and according to the latest reports, that's going to be at least until the 10th of June. All that includes all of our Bible classes, our studies, the Sunday evening fellowship times that we were having. All of those things are on hold right now. We do want to encourage you, though, to the things that we can continue to do. Is the phone calls and the notes and the encouragement to one another, prayers, etc. We want to encourage all of those things to keep going on. We can do all that with social distancing and so forth. So please continue to do those kinds of things. Now, worship will continue to be live streamed at 10:30 on Sunday mornings. We will continue doing that. Here's one of the things that we have changed just slightly, that anyone who wants to attend in person is welcome to do so. But those who are attending, we're asking you to wear a mask, and we're going to abide by the social distancing requirements, and so we'll have a limit of 10 people per section in the auditorium. We've got plenty of space here to spread out. And so forth. So, but again, we want to encourage anybody, because there are a lot of folks that are saying, hey, I would just like to be there. So you are welcome to come. We do have masks available if you don't have one. Those in attendance, as I mentioned a moment ago, we're going to be spreading out around the auditorium and keeping that social distance for that. I do want to emphasize those who are at high risk. For your safety, we ask you to please worship with us from home. We don't want to put you at any more risk than what you need to. So we want you to worship with us online in the live streaming at home. We do have the individual communion cups, packets. So we're using those here in our worship time, so we're not passing communion trays or anything like that. We have still have a bunch of those. If you are worshiping with us online and you need more of those, just let me know and we'll make sure you get some. So that's basically how we're continuing to do this. All right. Contributions. As Dale mentioned a few moments ago, we still need to have contributions. The church still has to function, and we have folks that we're trying to take care of in this time. So, again, we need for you to be making your contribution as you would were you here physically and so forth. You can either pay that on PayPal. We've got that set up for you to do. Or you can just mail it in by snail mail to the church here, and we'll get those and deposit those. But we appreciate that very much and ask you to continue to make those contributions, because the church, again, we still have to pay our bills, and we still have people that we've got to take care of. So the only way we can do that is through those contributions, all right? Let's talk about spiritual warfare. In this particular lesson, we're going to talk about identifying who the real enemy is, right? But here's a statement that probably many of you may or may have heard of before. War is hell. Okay? Where did that statement come from? Well, it is accredited to William Tecumseh Sherman, who, and here's the quote, all right, the whole quote. He said, "I am sick and tired of war. Its glory is all moonshine. It is only those who have neither fired a shot nor heard the shrieks and groans of the wounded who cry aloud for blood, more vengeance, more desolation. War is hell," he said. Well, let's talk about for a moment the relationship between war and hell, because there really is a relationship there. We need to understand that there is a war going on. It is a spiritual war. Okay? It is not just a world war, but rather it is a universe war. The whole universe is involved in this war. So this is not a war where you can show on a map of countries that are involved and those who are neutral and all of those kind of things as we have had in previous world wars that we've had. It doesn't work that way. This, everybody is involved in this. In fact, every one of us is in this war. But in this war, it is individually won or lost. Now, though it is individually won or lost, we can help one another. We can fight with each other against the enemy to try to help one another. But this is, again, it's not a war like we typically think of wars where we win territory and hold land or spaces or front lines and we have armies gathered together side by side. No, this is all, it's individual in terms of the end result. Okay? Whether you win or whether you lose is on an individual basis. All right? And winning or losing is all about heaven or hell. Okay? Unfortunately, most people in the world will lose because they don't even know they're at war. That's the sad state of what's really going on. So in this study on spiritual warfare, here's what we want to do. Here's what we want to accomplish. First of all, and today we're going to focus on two things. Number one is understanding the nature of spiritual warfare. And second part of it is going to be on identifying the enemy. Who is the enemy that we're fighting with in this spiritual war? And then the remainder part of this study is going to be looking at the things that allow us to be prepared for battle. The fact that in this spiritual warfare, God has provided with us the means by which to be victorious. And we're going to go through and look at each piece of armor that God provides for us to see what the significance of that piece of armor is and how we can best use it to fight and to be victorious in this spiritual warfare that we are in. So that's what we're going to try to accomplish in this study, all right? Today, we're talking about the nature of spiritual warfare and then the enemy. Let's talk about what is referred to as, in warfare, guerrilla tactics or guerrilla warfare, okay? A lot of people today think that maybe that kind of originated during the Vietnam War. If you're old enough to remember the Vietnam War, that's where it really became known to a lot of folks. But it actually has been going on for centuries, okay, in warfare. And here's a picture of those who were guerrilla warfare people in the Revolutionary War. Okay, well, what exactly is that? What are we talking about when we're talking about guerrilla tactics, okay? I kind of think of it this way. The enemy is in our midst, okay? In other words, here's one of the things that's different in guerrilla warfare versus what is referred to as conventional warfare, all right? The enemy doesn't wear uniforms that clearly identify them as combatants. Okay? They just look like everybody else. They hide among the civilian population. They're, you know, who, and so the problem in this kind of war is who's a combatant and who isn't? We hear terms sometimes today as who's a friendly and who's an enemy. Right? It's really hard to figure that out in these kinds of wars. And the enemy will use tactics like ambush and deceit and surprise attacks to overcome their enemy. So these are some of the tactics and the ways that this guerrilla warfare takes place. All right? Spiritual warfare is the same. We have the same kind of thing happening within spiritual warfare, and I'd suggest to you that it's even worse in that warfare than it is in what we refer to as conventional warfare. Here's a question for you. What does the devil look like? See? You know, we tend often to think about, when we think about the devil, we tend to look at him kind of like this cartoon character who's got horns, he wears a red suit, and then maybe a pointed tail, and he's got a pitchfork. And that's, for a lot of people, unfortunately, that's their idea or concept of the devil. What is this, what he looks like? But perhaps maybe he looks more like this. And here's my point in this. If the devil looked more like that second picture, and he was there every time that you were being tempted, and every time that he was attacking you, he showed up just like that, then you would know that you're facing temptation, and this is the devil, and you'd be a whole lot more on your guard. But he doesn't function like that. You see, he is among us in disguise. You see? If the devil advertised and told us all the time that he was there, in other words, he wore a uniform, okay, to show that it was actually him, then we'd probably be a whole lot better off in fighting him. But he doesn't do that. He disguises himself. And, you know, sometimes he even disguises himself as a very friendly, nice person in our life. We need to be aware of this part of how our enemy operates and functions. Okay? That comes to the idea of identifying who the real enemy is. Because here's part of the problem. If you don't identify who the real enemy is, then you're wasting your resources fighting the wrong enemy. Okay? And not only that, but then that distracts you and it leaves us more vulnerable to the real enemy. In other words, if we're over here and we're fighting this person or whatever, thinking we're fighting against the enemy, and the real enemy is over here, well, we've got our back to the enemy, we're more vulnerable, and we're wasting all of our effort and all of our energy on this. It's not the real enemy when we should be fighting the real enemy. So it's very, very important that we, in understanding spiritual warfare, that we're able to identify who the real enemy is. All right? The Apostle Paul, in this text that Wes read for us, as we begin in Ephesians chapter 6, and we're only looking at the first couple of verses this morning, beginning in verse 10 through 12, he tells us very plainly that the enemy is not a flesh and blood enemy. Okay? He says, our struggle is not against flesh and blood. And that's really vitally important that we remember this. Because it has to do with, again, identifying who the real enemy is. So that I can be putting my energy and my resources in fighting the real enemy rather than fighting who I think is the enemy and they're really not. Okay? This is not, then, Paul makes it very clear, a physical war against people. All right? If you're fighting with a person, then you're fighting the wrong war. Think about that for just a moment. we've been, you know, talking about, and we refer to all the time, talking about the people in our Jerusalem and our Judea. And if you really stop and think about it, where are most of the battles that we fight? It's with people in our Jerusalem and our Judea. But understand, I said it's people. And Paul says, that's the wrong enemy. Okay? We need to understand, Satan uses people in his fight against us. Okay? And he does that to try to distract us, again, so that we're fighting the wrong enemy. We think they're the enemy, and they're really not, because he knows as long as we're fighting against people, then we're not fighting against him. And so Satan uses people like spouses, you see, and within marriages to divide and to tear families apart. He gets, you know, husbands and wives fighting with each other and convinced that there each other is the enemy. He gets us fighting against our children, parents and children. He gets children and children fighting with one another. You've heard the term sibling rivalry? Okay? Satan uses people to fight those battles. How about our friends? He uses our friends to attack us and to fight against us, our neighbors, and even our co-workers. And again, these are all people that fit within that definition that we've been using for a long time now, our Jerusalem. These are the people that are involved in our lives on a regular basis. And so a lot of times the attacks that Satan launches against us come through these people. And when we get convinced that these are the enemies that we're involved with, then we're setting ourselves up to be defeated, because we're fighting the wrong enemy and we're fighting in the wrong war. Because Paul makes it very clear that our fight or our struggle is not against flesh and blood. So if you're fighting against someone, or you're in battles with someone, a person who is a flesh and blood person, I want to encourage you and suggest to you, you're fighting the wrong war. And you're fighting the wrong enemy. You need to go back and rethink that and look at it. Since our enemy is spiritual in nature, here's some things you've got to keep in mind. You cannot defeat Satan on your own. He is much more powerful than you are. You are limited by your physical abilities. He is not. He is not a physical being. He is a spiritual being. He's a lot stronger than you are. One-on-one, you will lose the fight. Because you cannot defeat Satan on your own. The great news is, with God fighting on your side, you cannot lose this battle, this war. Okay? You cannot lose it. God, as strong as Satan is, as powerful as Satan is, God is even that much more powerful than him. Satan cannot defeat or overcome God in any way, shape, or form. He simply cannot do it. He tried that and he lost. Okay? Here's what John has to say in 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. Okay, Jesus came here to overcome and destroy the work of Satan. Right? And we need to know and to understand and believe that Jesus has the power to overcome Satan in each and every one of us in the battle that we are fighting, the war we're fighting against Satan. Jesus has the power to bring us to victory. But we have got to trust in him. Okay? Let's talk about this spiritual forces that are against us. It's not a flesh and blood battle. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, so that eliminates people. Okay? That's not where the war is. It's not where the struggle is. It's not against people. It is against, Paul identifies this. He says, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Why? Because we're at war. Look at what Peter says in chapter 5, 8 and 9. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith. So we need to understand that, again, we're at war. And our enemy is relentless. And Peter here describes him as like a roaring lion that's looking. He's going around looking for someone, anyone that he can devour. And he encourages us to take a stand, to stand firm against Satan. Stand firm in the faith. Right? So he tells us then, back to Ephesians chapter 6, put on the whole armor of God. Why? That you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Stand against. All right? So what is he telling us? We need to take our stand. Okay? We need to take our stand. What does that really mean? Well, the reality is, because people get mixed up in this warfare, people oftentimes take a stand against one another. Okay? And sometimes within these battles that we fight with each other, people do this. We draw a line in the sand, and it's kind of this, here's the line, and don't you dare step across that line, because if you do, I'll beat you to a pulp, or I'll, whatever the circumstances are. We draw that line in the sand and we dare someone to cross it. If you cross that line, there's going to be consequences. Well, again, what I suggest to you is, and I think what Paul wants us to understand is, if we're doing that, if we're drawing a line in the sand with people, with one another, then we're in the wrong war. We're fighting the wrong enemy. We need to draw a line in the sand. We need to take a stand. But not against one another. Okay? But we need to take that stand against Satan and against his schemes. Look at what he says here again. That you may be able to stand against what? The schemes of the devil. That's where the line needs to be drawn. That's where we need to stand firm, to hold our ground in the warfare, in the battle that we have with Satan. What about schemes? What is it talking about? Well, here's a definition. A plan or program of action, especially a crafty or secret one. Does that sound like Satan or what? Okay. Notice that the word scheme has to do with a plan. Now, here's something that I don't know if you've ever really thought of or realized. But Satan has a plan for your life. Now, just let that sink in a moment, okay? We talk about oftentimes, and we like the whole concept of God having a plan for us, right? And we talk about that all the time. God has a plan for you. But how often do you really think about the fact that Satan has a plan for you? He's got a plan for your life, and that plan is not good, I promise you. It is destruction. And it's, I think that Satan kind of works it like this, all right? He's got a playbook, so to speak. In other words, he knows with each one of us, he knows what your weaknesses are. He knows what my weaknesses are. And he knows how to play against us in an effort to get us to stumble and to sin and to fall. And so, you know, he'll use all kinds of things whatever you are most vulnerable at. And keep in mind that that's going to be different for different people. But he's got a plan for you, and that plan is destruction. He wants every single one of us to fall away from God and to be lost. That is his plan for us. And he'll do whatever he possibly can to accomplish that plan. He uses deceit, craftiness, and secrecy, whatever it takes, in order to win. Ran across this, and I really like what it says. I think it lays it out there. The devil doesn't come dressed in a red cape and pointy horns. He comes as everything you've ever wished for. Think about that a moment. All those things that, you know, we got to have and we wish, and if I could only have this, if I could only have that, if I could only... Unfortunately, a lot of times we kind of look at God and say, well, God, if you would just give me this, if you would just give me that, if you would just take care of... And we treat God like Santa Claus, and not even realizing that the one in the red suit, okay, is not God. But maybe it's closer to Satan. He's wanting to give us what we wish because he knows that so often those things that we wish for are going to lead to our destruction. So think about it that way. How does Satan come to us? Oftentimes it's in those things that we wish for in our lives. Prophet Isaiah said this, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil." We get distracted and we get our whole thought process turned completely around. And right now, we see this happening in our world all around us today, don't we? Where people are looking at the things that are evil and saying, oh, that's good. And the things that are good, they're saying, oh, no, that's evil. Okay? In the midst of this whole coronavirus thing, church is a bad thing. Okay, when we restrict church, that's not an essential activity. But abortion clinics being open is an essential activity. That's an example of calling what is evil good and good evil. Okay? Abortions, according to the world, are good. But going to worship God, that's not good. Okay? You can go to an ABC store, buy all the alcohol you want to, but they don't want you coming to worship. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil. We need to understand that's the work of Satan in the midst of this spiritual warfare. It's just a couple of examples of what we see going on right now today in the midst of all of this stuff that's happening with this virus. Okay? The nature of spiritual warfare. Let's notice a couple of things here. Where is the real battle? Where is the real struggle? Verse 12, Paul identifies it this way. He's already, as we've seen, he says, it's not against flesh and blood. Well, if it's not against flesh and blood, that is people, then who is it actually against? Well, he identifies it this way. The rulers, the authorities, the powers of this dark world, and the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. That's the enemy. That's where the warfare is taking place. Against evil. Okay? Against those who rule. And those who are in authority in the dark world that exists around us, and against those spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. That is spiritual warfare. That's where the enemy is, and that's where the war is taking place. We need to understand the difference between this spiritual warfare and physical war that takes place. Why? because of this. We truly are in the fight of our lives. This is not just a matter of life and death physically. Okay? This is a matter of being lost or being saved eternally. So we really are in the fight of our lives. And we have got to resist Satan. We've got to overcome and defeat him as the enemy. But we will not do that unless and until we first of all understand that we are in a war. And secondly, that we clearly identify who the enemy really is. We've got to understand the seriousness of this. War is hell. If you lose this war, it is hell. That's the only result that will come if you lose this war. If you trust and rely on God and use what He has given to us to be victorious, then war is heaven. And that's where we're going to go with the remainder of this study, is looking at what has God provided to us, to every single one of us, in this armor that He's given to us so that we can be victorious. And when this war is over, when your war is over individually, when my war is over individually, that we have won the victory of eternal life with Christ Jesus. And that's what we're going to be focusing on through this. So, this morning, as we've been talking about the nature of spiritual warfare and who the enemy is, I hope that it is causing you to really seriously look at a couple of things. Number one, your relationships that you have with people. Looking at those and asking yourselves, wait a minute, have I been battling with somebody in my life and spending all my time and energy in a war with this person? And I'm suggesting to you, if that's something you've been doing, you need to get out of that war. Now, again, as I mentioned earlier, understand, Satan may be using that person to fight against you, but you've got to understand that person is not the enemy. If you recognize them as the one that Satan is using to fight against you, to win you, then I think that will help you to put that in a better perspective and to relate to that person in a much better way. You find yourself this morning maybe caught up in a real heated battle in spiritual warfare, and you need some help, some encouragement, some guidance, some teaching, whatever it might be, then all you got to do is let us know that. And we'll do whatever it takes to help you to be victorious in your battles against Satan. As we have on the screen here, for those who are with us online, you're not obviously able to come forward and respond to the invitation in that way, but you can respond nonetheless. If you desire to respond to the invitation, you can text either Dale or Wes, and you can do that right now. Their phone numbers are on the screen, and you can text either one of them with a prayer request or whatever it is that you need, and they will address that right away. For those who are assembled with us physically this morning, if you have a need that we can help you with, if you have a prayer request or whatever, all you got to do is come up and let me know. We will address that. And for anybody, whether you're online with us this morning or those that are here, if you have not given your life to Christ and you recognize that you need to give your life to Christ and you're ready to make that commitment, then confess Jesus as Lord of your life. Repent of the sin that is separating you from God, and have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. For those that are here with us this morning, you can do that right now. For those that are online, if you're ready to make that commitment, all you have to do is call us. call or text one of those two numbers and let us know, and we will make whatever arrangements need to be made so that you can be baptized into Christ as soon as possible. And so that's the invitation for us. Tom has a song that we're going to use as an invitation song, and we'll just spend a little bit of time in the singing and let you think about that. And if you need to respond again, those online can text Dale or Wes. Those who are here can just come up forward. Let's stand together and sing. Tom, come on up.
647.